They're a bit patchy, but they will move around and sort themselves out.
We're on the waters of King George Sound in the very south of Western Australia, and uncle and nephew team Lindsay and Robert Michael are pulling up some two-year-old oysters. They're checking to see if the shells are big enough for pearl production or if they're more suitable for meat.
So these ones here,
good candidate for pearls.
These are good candidate for pearls.
We produce quite a few of these initially for pearl production, and having excess stock basically led us down the path of investigating it for meat. So it's proven to be quite unique and quite well received through some of our local chefs and distributors around the place.
Hello, I'm Tyne Logan. It's estimated only about 50% of the Akoya oyster shells produced on this lease will be suitable for pearl production. The rest will be discarded, simply thrown back into the ocean. The Michael family wants to turn this wasted byproduct into a seafood delicacy. The meat is already popular in Asia, but it's relatively unknown in Australia. Is it kind of hedging your bets, business-wise?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of overlap, so to be able to produce a good pearl, you need to grow a lot of good... you need to grow a lot of shells first, oyster shells, and so not all of those oysters will make the grade for pearl production. So rather than dump these things back on the seabed, we're able to use this product or this resource for another sort of revenue stream.
How much would you have chucked out?
Some seasons you could potentially discard up to 80% of what you've produced. It also depends on numbers of pearls you want to produce also. So yeah, now that we've got hatchery supply of spat, we produce a lot more than we will use for pearl production, that's for sure. So that's why we want to sort of push this side of it as well.
Rob Michael believes they're the first in Australia to use the Akoya pearl oyster for its meat. The variety is grown in other parts of the country, but tough health regulations governing seafood production limits its use.
The fact that the pearl producers aren't using it for meat is because their growing sites are not classified for food production, so we have to follow a very strict regime of, because we produce mussels and other edible oyster species in our growing sites, we have to adhere to pretty strict Department of Health regulations. So you know, we have to sample water, flesh, algal samples, E. coli. You know, we spend thousands and thousands a year basically meeting these health standards. So if you're just a pearl producer in a remote location, you'll struggle to sort of access those sampling sites, and two, it just might not be, it's cost prohibitive if you're not actually producing a lot of other food products in those growing regions.
So how much money have you thrown into this business, just the oyster side, I guess?
Oh, enough, yeah, plenty.
Is it risky?
Of course, yeah, it's primary production. You see days like today, it revolves around the weather, changing water temperatures, river flows. You know, we're constantly monitoring what's going on. We have stock losses, storms. Yeah, it's risky.
So you can see all the new growth on there, so they're really enjoying it, these fellas.
The thing about the Akoya oyster pearl meat is that it tastes different to the Pacific or rock oysters most consumers are used to.
The adductor muscles, a bit firm, a bit like abalone, and then you've got the creamy gonad, just like a typical oyster, yeah.
In fact, these oysters are best lightly cooked.
Well, because, you know, there's that whole, cooking oysters, sacrilege, but it goes back to just understanding the product and eating it and trusting it, and just, you have to abandon those, I don't know, cliches sometimes. Like, it doesn't, be open to having a go at eating them like a different way and maybe not the accepted way, and these are a great example of that. They're like, I think they're exceptional when they're cooked just lightly.
Local Albany chef Amy Hamilton has been experimenting with the new oyster meat. She loves them.
It's really inspiring as a chef, like, to be able to like help promote and support these products.
But she admits she was initially concerned about the price tag.
Half a dozen of these cost $45 to $50 for the consumer. Look, I thought initially that I would have some resistance with my customer base with the price, and I haven't, because because I'm so kind of passionate and supportive, and you know, I really believe in this product. You know, that kind of enthusiasm translates, and like I said, you know, if it tastes good, like, people, they're happy.
Rob Michael says the wholesale price is high end, but not unaffordable.
We're putting it in a similar market space as sort of the more high end rock oyster products that are available, rock and Pacific oysters. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a high end product, but is, you know, equivalent to the high end other oysters, perhaps not the ones that everyone gets.
That's right. It's probably, it'd be up there sort of with this scallop and top oyster market. We're not talking abalone prices, but we're not talking mussel prices either, so yeah.